Today, the church celebrates the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. Now, if you were in church last Thursday or on Sunday, you might be thinking, boy, Pastor, we just heard that gospel lesson. Are you going to preach on that just like Pastor Bischoff did? No, I'm not. I will save you my dialogue on it. I just want to point out one thing from our gospel lesson, and it's important for us to remember in the framework of the presentation of the Augsburg Confession. Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Christian princes stood before the Holy Roman Emperor and confessed the faith presented in our Augsburg Confession. They faced death, destruction of their land and their properties for standing against the emperor. And yet they did it, because what they had to say was of the utmost importance. What the church has to say in our day and age is of the utmost importance. In the midst of fear, in confusion, in hatred, in burning, in all of the craziness that is going around our world right now, we still have the same message to proclaim. Think about the words from our intro at this evening. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, and the earth melts. Kingdoms come and go. Rulers come and go. Hatred, God willing, has come, but hopefully will go. And we trust that, and we know that, because at the end of days, Jesus Christ will come with the loud trumpet blasting, and all those who have put their faith and their trust in the one true God will be delivered for eternity. The Augsburg Confession, a confession of faith from the evangelicals, that is what they called themselves, derogatorily called Lutherans because they followed the teachings of Martin Luther. But the thing is that the teachings of Martin Luther were nothing new. Now, at that time, there were many trying to say that what he was saying was heresy. They spread so many lies about the evangelicals, that is, those who believed and confessed the gospel, that the man who wrote the Augsburg Confession, Philip Melanchthon, had to actually rework the entire document the night before the day of presentation. He found that there were so many lies being told about what our churches held that he had to rework the whole thing. There are still lies being told about the church. There have always been lies told about the church because the father of lies wants no one to be saved. And so he spreads lie after lie to deceive, to try to make the fallen world out there never enter the footsteps of the house of God. And so they presented life and limb on the line. But they said, only God can kill both body and soul. Fear not those who can kill the body but cannot take the soul. And so they confessed. Think about this. You have princes before the Holy Roman Emperor confessing the faith of the people in their region. That would never happen today. We have so far separated the church from the state that we can't even say no to a Satanist temple or a Satanist monument on public ground. How weak and pathetic Christendom has become in this country. Think about these men who stood there, confessing the faith, saying this is so important that we must confess it even before our emperor. In the preface to the Augsburg Confession, we read about some of the other lies being confused today. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people claim that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. But it's simply not true. Either Jesus Christ is your God made flesh who died for your sins, or he is not. And so, in fact, our confessors wrote these words. You see, the Muslims, that is, the Turks in that day, were barreling down on Christians. We have the Crusades behind us, but they are ready at the door to attack. And so the emperor says, the only way I can provide an attack or defense against them is if I unite these Christians. And so he called them all together, hoping to work something out so that they could fight the real enemy at hand, in his opinion, which was the Turk, the Muslim. And so the early Lutherans wrote in this doctrine, Muslims and Christians, do they worship the same God? They are there to deliberate concerning measures against the Turk, that is, the Muslims, that most atrocious, hereditary, and ancient enemy of the Christian name and religion. If Muslims and Christians worship the same God, then that isn't an enemy. Think about what is confessed. Now, there are 28 articles in the Augsburg Confession. 3 years ago, I tried to summarize all of them. I'm not going to do that here tonight. You're welcome. So, just a little bit here or there, because the Augsburg Confession is one of the things that we as Lutherans swear to stand by. We claim that what is in the Augsburg Confession is what we as Lutherans, as evangelical Catholics, hold to. And it's important that we actually know what's in them. The Augsburg Confession. In fact, on the outside of our old church building, I know I mentioned this 3 years ago, you will see three letters, UAC, underneath the church's name. Unaltered Augsburg Confession. We are named after this confession. We confess there that our God is the same God who is confessed in the Nicene Creed, written in the 4th century and confessed by Christians ever since. We confess that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We also teach that since the fall of Adam, all men begotten in the natural way are born with sin, that is, without the fear of God, without trust in God, and with concupiscence, and that this disease, this vice of origin, is truly sin, even now condemning and bringing eternal death upon those not born again through baptism in the Holy Ghost. You were conceived in sin. You are prone to sin because of Adam's sin passed down through every man since. This original sin corrupts our very nature. It corrupts our very being. And apart from God's rebirth in the waters of holy baptism, we cannot hope to do anything but sin. There is one Christ, true God and true man. The fourth article, after confessing who God is, what sin is, who Jesus Christ is the doctrine that we long have claimed is the teaching on which the church stands or falls. It is called the doctrine of justification. And here is what the Augsburg Confession states. Men cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merits, or works, but are freely justified for Christ's sake, through faith, when they believe that they are received into favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake, who by his death has made satisfaction for our sins. This faith God imputes for righteousness in his sight. You can't hope to save yourself. You will completely and utterly fail. We can't do it. And that is exactly why God sent his only begotten Son into our flesh to do it on our behalf. Only faith in the work and person of Jesus Christ can justify you out of your sin. The pastoral office was formed for the preaching of God's word and the ministering of his sacraments. True faith produces good works and a desire to follow God's will. Good works are an essential part of faith. We are bound to them. The living hope of the Holy Spirit in you creates the ability to do good works. The church exists to be the place that God's word and sacraments are given to his people. Why can't we close all of the churches? Because God's grace needs to abound. His sacraments need to be administered. The body and blood of Jesus need to be given to frail and broken sinners for the forgiveness of their sins. Baptism is necessary for salvation, our Augsburg Confession says. It offers grace, and children are to receive it. When? Infants. Now, when we couldn't gather in groups larger than 9, I baptized my newborn son. And I could only have my parents and Stephanie's parents and the godparents there, and technically we went over 10, because when you have 5 children, it's really hard to stay under the number 10. But baptism is an essential part of what the church does. I baptized that boy at 4 days old because baptism has a most precious gift to give. It works eternal salvation in the word, in the faith. Baptism is a gift from God for even the smallest infant. Take part in it. Wash that child in the graces of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say that we condemn the teaching that children should not be baptized. Children are born with original sin. They have failed, and they cannot earn salvation for themselves, but yet they can have faith, and they can hear the word of God and receive it and be born again by water and the word. The body and blood of Christ are truly present and are distributed to those who eat the supper of the Lord, and we reject those who teach otherwise. Never forget that we truly confess, that after Christ's words are proclaimed over plain bread and wine, that what you receive is not just bread and wine, but it is the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Your God, your King of kings and Lord of lords, chooses to actually be one with bread and wine for you to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. It is a truth that causes us to really pause and remember just why we do gather. The fact that your God loves you so much that he comes here each and every week to give you his body and blood for your forgiveness. Private absolution ought to be retained in the churches. Did you know that we actually retain private confession absolution? It's in the small catechism. It's the 5th chief part. And in fact, the confession will go on to talk about why it's still important again. Repentance has 2 parts. Contrition, that is sorrow and terror over our sins, and faith in the gospel. We believe that no man should teach, that is preach, or administer the sacraments without a call. You called us to be your pastors. The congregation met under the advisement of the Holy Spirit and received the name of your pastor. He accepted that call, and he is here. We observe holy days, festivals, just like today, just as we are celebrating, and the traditions that do not block the gospel. Christians can and should hold public office, to sit as judges, serve as soldiers, and that Christian men should marry and Christian women be given in marriage. We believe that Christ will return. We teach that at the consummation of the world, Christ will appear for judgment and he will raise up all the dead. He will give to the godly and elect eternal life and everlasting joys, but ungodly men and the devils he will condemn to be tormented without end. We condemn the idea of a rapture. We condemn the idea that Christians will rule the whole world for a time before Christ's return. We believe that man has free will, which is inclined to sin apart from the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, you actually have been given the power by God to overcome temptation. We preach good works as profitable, a part of your living faith, but that they are not something that we do to earn or merit salvation. We give honor and reverence to the saints, a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, but we do not worship or invoke them in prayer. We believe that both the body and the blood are to be given according to Christ's command. For so many years, the church had only given the host, that is, the body of Christ, claiming that you didn't need to receive the blood of Christ. But what does Jesus Christ say? He says, take and eat. And then he takes the cup and says, drink of it, all of you. It's his command. We believe that priests, more commonly called now pastors, can marry women. The Mass, that is the sacrament in the divine service, is held among us and celebrated. Quote, also we teach that the consummation of the world will come. And another one about private confession. Confession in the churches is not abolished among us, for it is not usual to give the body of the Lord except to them that have been previously examined and absolved, and the people are most carefully taught concerning faith in the absolution. Private confession is retained in the Lutheran Church. It is a part of what your pastors do day in and day out to give you individually the consolation of what your God has done for you, to meet with you individually, to, at least before, lay a hand on you and give you the hope that your sins, personally, the voice of your pastor is God speaking through him to tell you individually, dear son, dear daughter, your sins are forgiven. Fasting is a good practice, but there is no distinction of meats. Okay, so on Fridays during Lent, fasting isn't all you can eat fish fry. That's not how fasting works. There is no distinction between meats. You can eat red meat on Fridays. You can eat fish on Fridays. That's how it all works. And in conclusion, this last statement is made, that it might be understood that in doctrine and ceremonies, nothing has been received on our part against Scripture or the Church Catholic. For it is manifest that we have taken most diligent care that no new and ungodly doctrine should creep into our churches. Our first confessors of the Augsburg Confession, those first evangelicals, and as they would go on to be called Lutherans, held very clearly that we do not deviate from the confession of the Church Catholic, the Church Universal as it has confessed Christ. While there were abuses that crept in, especially during the Middle Ages, those first Lutherans said, we get rid of those abuses and we go back to the source. And we have confessed these things ever since. For the last 500 years, we have said we are a part of the Church Catholic. We confess Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that is the message that this world so desperately needs to hear. That their God loved them so much that he came to this earth to suffer and die for all lives. And so the church sings, God surely will uproot the ones who with their lies enclose us, and who with bold and haughty tongues say, who would dare oppose us? We have the right and might alone. What we determine shall be done. Who then shall be our master? Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.